The Huffman Show on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
It's the Huffman Show on the Team 980, and we're always live on the free Odyssey app. And it is my pleasure to welcome in the play-by-play voice of the Carolina Panthers, Aneesh Shroff. And Aneesh, it gives me great pleasure to say that as someone who grew up in the Carolinas. Mick Mixon, who you are replacing, is someone I consider a mentor and a friend. And when Mick was retiring, I was like, I wonder who's going to get the job. And the fact that it's you, a guy I've also known for a long time, has been so good to me over the years. And obviously, you've made Charlotte home working for ESPNU for as long as you did and all the stuff that you've been doing. Couldn't be more excited for you, buddy. So congratulations and you know, welcome to the show to talk about your new team.
Yeah, I appreciate it, and congratulations to you. I know you got a big summer, new job, great slot here with the drive time, and you're getting married. So we both have a lot going on here these next few weeks.
Yeah, to say the least. I'm curious real quick. We don't need to make this like biography in each time, but I am curious, and yes, I saved this question. Instead of for us catching up off air, I'm saving this for on the radio. Like, what was it like when you got the news that you got the job, having lived in Charlotte now for the better part of a decade, making it home, and you know, also, frankly, replacing a guy like Mick, who is a legend down there?
You know, the first thing was it was just so much different than when I got the job at ESPN, in the sense that, you know, I was much younger when I got the job at ESPN, and you're always kind of looking ahead and what's next. And I was at the stage in my life where you can have gratitude and humility and really grasp what it means. It's one out of 32. It's an NFL team. It's the most popular sport in North America. It's the most popular sport in the Carolinas. So to have that opportunity and then to succeed a guy like Mick, who I just spoke to him a couple of days ago, is one of the nicest human beings on the planet. And despite all the the talk about the big shoes to fill and all that, I know what I'm walking into. The great thing about Mick is the advice that he gave me, and he just said, be yourself, be you. And he said, I'm going to kind of leave you alone. Like, I don't want to be that guy hovering over you. And the one thing that he offered me was friendship. And he's like, you need anything, pick up the phone, call me anytime. He reiterated that to me when I talked to him a few days ago. So he's been great, but really just gratitude. You know, if you know anything about my background and my story, you know, the one thing that I always wondered was, you know, would people take a shot at me at a higher level because of my name? And it's been this disqualifier at times in my career. And so for an NFL team to say, like, this guy with an ethnic name, like, we don't care, we want to make him the voice of our franchise, that means so much to me. So I'm grateful to the Panthers and just kind of humbled by the opportunity, really, more than anything else.
Yeah, that's very cool, man. Congratulations. And I just thought of this story, so I will tell it quickly. The last time I saw Mick was before a Monday night game here a couple years ago. And Mick introduced me to someone as, oh yeah, Craig could take my job one day, which I wasn't interested in play-by-play. But that someone happened to be Luke Kuechly. And Luke then turned to Mick and went, do I need to kill him? And luckily, Mick said no. And so I guess I should follow up by saying, has anyone threatened your life since you took Mick's job, or did Mick bless and warn all of the right people? Because that would be true friendship.
Yeah, no, like Mick has been so cool about this, and he, you know, keeps lying and saying all these nice things about me. So every radio show I go on, it's, oh, Mick said all these great things about you. So I appreciate him, lying through his nose, to make sure I've got a pretty nice on-ramp here. So they've rolled out the red carpet. The fans have been great. The people in the organization have been great. And Mick's been awesome.
That's great, man. Aneesh Shroff, the play-by-play voice of the Carolina Panthers, with us, of course, ahead of week one of the preseason, Commanders and Panthers this weekend. So I'm curious about this. Obviously, you are in your first season, as we've been talking about, but like, does Ron Rivera's presence still loom down there at all? Like, how often does his name come up, or is the franchise considering all of the turnover, including, I mean, Tepper was there and he's ultimately the guy who moved on from Ron, but there has been a lot of turnover down there. Has the franchise kind of moved on from him, and is it even a story that they're playing him in week one?
You know, it's less of a story because they did play last year in the regular season. And this is right. preseason. Obviously, you know, the stakes aren't that important. And who wins and loses is not that important. And we probably won't even see a lot of the guys who will play meaningful reps in the regular season. But, you know, you got to remember the one thing about Ron when he was in Charlotte, he was very visible in the community. I used to see him at charity events and then, you know, this charity auction and this function. He was everywhere. He was the guy who was not just the coach of the Panthers. He was in the community, shaking hands, kissing babies. He was that guy. And in some ways, it's a little unfair to Matt Rhule, who took over in 2020 when the world was shut down. And for 2 years, Matt never had that chance to connect the way Ron did. He's sort of finally getting that opportunity here, you know, in the last 6-7 months, really the off season and now the lead up to this, where he can engage people and people can get to know him. So, you know, people love Ron here. Obviously, when you go to a Super Bowl and you have the success that he did, but you remember this. I mean, you're a Carolina guy. Go back to Ron's first two seasons. Ron Rivera going into season three wasn't viewed the way Ron Rivera is now post tenure with the Panthers. He had, you know, missed the playoffs his first two seasons, and people were wondering, is this the guy? Could he do it? You know, they got things rolling. A few years later, they're 15-1 and playing in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, obviously, story in every camp to a point is quarterback. It's particularly heightened for you guys down there between Baker and Sam Darnold. How have you seen this battle playing out, and who will we see on the field on Saturday?
You know, I'll find that out from Matt Rhule when I speak to him later today. So they haven't decided how the reps will work out. I can tell you this, it's been pretty much 50-50 with the first team, with Sam and Baker. And this is a new offensive system. They brought in Ben McAdoo, former head coach of the Giants, to run the offense. So Sam Darnold had a head start here. Sam Darnold had the spring. He had OTAs. He had mini camp. Baker Mayfield got the playbook less than 3 weeks before training camp started. And so for Baker, the first week and change, you could tell there was maybe a little bit more hesitation and still learning the playbook, still learning some of his receivers. Sam had that head start. I will say in the last week or so, Baker seems to be making exponential strides daily. He's decisive. He's picking up the playbook. And when Baker's in the huddle, we know this just from who he was at Oklahoma and who he was at Cleveland and who he was in high school in Texas Tech. You know, there's an energy. There is this aura that he brings to the huddle. Guys seem to play off of that, and that's not a knock against Sam in any way. Sam is the incumbent. It's also not his personality. He's more reserved. He's more quiet. But Baker brings a little bit of that attitude that's kind of been missing from that position since Cam Newton was in his prime.
Yeah, I remember we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording, like Baker at the Senior Bowl and that, you know, that kind of gumption that he has. How has that translated to the DJ Moores of the world, to Christian McCaffrey? Like how have the other guys that have been there that are really high level weapons responded to that, those two different personalities, for better or for worse?
I'll give the players credit, because every time they get asked about that, they sort of plead the fifth or give you the non-answer. None of them really want to get involved into, hey, we may be perceived to be lobbying for one guy over the other. And you know, the message has been clear. This thing's going to play out. Somebody's going to have to win the job. But the guys that you mentioned, I think it's important if McCaffrey can stay healthy, if DJ Moore, who I think is one of the most underrated receivers in the NFL, you know, continues on his trajectory, if Robbie Anderson can bounce back, a guy like Rashard Higgins, who played with Baker in Cleveland, maybe he can be your third or fourth wide receiver. They expect big things from Terrace Marshall if he can get healthy. And the offensive line, which was a huge issue last year, is much better. So there is better infrastructure around the quarterback. And I've told people, you know, the Panthers, to be a much improved team, don't need Baker or Sam or whoever it's going to be a top five or even a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. They can be middle of the pack. That represents a massive upgrade from last season, you know, when the Panthers, you know, only had 36 passes of 20 or more yards all season. They were 31st in passing touchdowns, last in completion percentage. So they had some of the worst quarterback play in the NFL last year. If you can go from that to, you know, 15 to 17 in that range, that represents a massive upgrade.
Anish Shroff, play-by-play voice of the Carolina Panthers, with us. McCaffrey being great is something they probably need. What's his status health-wise, and how do they plan to use him? Because it feels like he was almost overused at times, and that maybe contributed to some of the injuries and also a lack of effectiveness as you just accumulate all those hits, all those reps, time after time in the NFL. So what's the plan with McCaffrey, and where is he from a health standpoint going into the season?
I got to tell you, he has looked unbelievable. He has looked unbelievable in camp. And when you see him against all these guys who are pros, he's just a dude who's at a different speed. You know, it's like you're watching a different species, making guys miss. The cuts are back. Obviously, keeping him healthy is important. One of their big free agent signings was Deontay Foreman. So he can take the load off McCaffrey in those short yardage situations, second and two, third and one. You get inside the 5 yard line. You know, now you're saving some bullets for McCaffrey later in the season. Upgrading the offensive line. I remember on draft night when Ikem Ekwonu was drafted with the 6th pick. We're in our draft studio with Jonathan Stewart, former Panthers running back, and he says, you know, this will add years to Christian McCaffrey's career. You know, getting this kind of offensive line where now you're not having to break tackles in the backfield and you've got holes to run through, which wasn't the case last year. So I still think McCaffrey, again, when he's healthy, he's a top five player offensively in this league. He does things that guys just don't do. You don't have running backs, you know, with 100 receptions, with 1,000 yards receiving, and then what he can do on the ground. So, you know, you don't want to neuter him completely. Maybe there's less of a load, but I still think he'll be used in the same way. They may just mix in a little bit more Chuba Hubbard, a little bit more Deontay Foreman in situations that call for it. But you want McCaffrey on the field.
Yeah, definitely. And Stewart, part of a great running back tandem for sure, back with D'Angelo Williams back in the day. Last guy I'll ask you about, a familiar face that actually came up in the news here this week because he did not get along great with former, now defensive line coach, Sam Mills III, and that's Matt Ioannidis. How has Ioannidis looked in his first year in Carolina after leaving Washington in the offseason?
You know, he's going to start on that defensive line. He gives you an element of pass rushing ability and run stopping ability. A couple of years ago, you know, I think he had about 8 or 9 sacks. So he's fit in. He's a former Temple guy. He knows Matt Rhule. He played for Matt Rhule in college. So there is a very good fit here. And this is a D line with Derek Brown now going into his third year. They're expecting him to take a step. You know, Brian Burns is right on the cusp of having that breakout season. He's had 9+ sacks 2 years in a row. They do have to maybe find another pass rusher to complement Burns, but I think they're looking at different ways to do it. And Ioannidis is going to be counted on to rush the passer as a D-tackle, but also the Panthers, as good as they were against the pass last year, struggled at times against the run. He helps you there as well. And again, the familiarity with Matt Rhule is a win.
Definitely. Anish Shroff, play-by-play voice of the Carolina Panthers. Congrats again, man, and hopefully we can find another excuse to talk sometime soon.
Sounds good, man. Appreciate you.